Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A very young, naive college student got lost in her car in a snowstorm. She remembered that her dad had said, "If you ever get lost in a snowstorm, follow the first snowplow that comes by." And pretty soon a snowplow came by, and she began to follow it. She followed that snowplow for 45 minutes. Finally, the snowplow stopped. The driver got out and asked what she was doing. She said, "My father told me if I was ever lost in a snowstorm, that I should follow the first snowplow that comes by." The truck driver nodded to her and got back, or said to her, "Well, I'm done with the parking lot here at Walmart. You can follow me over to Kmart." Whether we think about it or not, we follow people. We are all followers in a lot of different ways. The question that I began the service with was, you know, who is that person that you follow? Who are the people that you follow? Is that person worthy of being followed? We also follow sets of rules, and we should ask ourselves if those rules are justifiable and if they make sense. Will those rules, will that person that we follow get us where we want to go? In the texts for today, we hear of following. In the Old Testament, Abraham was 75 years old when God came to him and promised that his descendants would get the land of Canaan and that he would have a lot of descendants. But at 75, he and Sarah did not have any children. And then today, God comes to Abraham again, and now he's 99, and they still don't have any children. And God again reassures them that he will keep his promise with them to make them part of the parents of many nations. God says this to Abraham, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between us and multiply you greatly." Biblically, to walk with someone means that you will have a close relationship with them. God says to Abraham, "Stay close to me. Walk in my ways. Follow me, and I will do these things for you." We in the Missouri Synod walk with other Lutheran congregations. We walk with the people at the district. We walk with the people at the synod level. We all live by the same Bible. We all follow the same doctrine. We all have a similar worship style. We all walk together. We follow along together. And there's a conversation about following in the gospel lesson today as well. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Caesarea Philippi. That's a town about 110 miles or so north of Jerusalem. And he wants them to understand what he's all about. He teaches them as they walk along on their journey. He wants them to understand that he is the Messiah and why he came. And so he says to them, "Who is it that people say I am?" And the people respond, "Well, some people say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others say another prophet." And then Jesus asks them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter is the first disciple to recognize who Jesus is. He said, "You are the Christ. You are Jesus, the Messiah." And so Jesus goes on with his teaching and says, "I must be rejected by the Pharisees, by the elders, by the chief priests, and I must be killed. And I will rise again in 3 days." For Peter, For impetuous Peter, this is just too much. He does not like at all what Jesus is saying. And so he takes Jesus aside and begins to scold him. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Peter was denying the reason that Jesus came. Peter was saying, all of God's plan for salvation is not right. I don't want it to be that way. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus says, you're not thinking about the things of God, you're thinking about the things of the world. And then Jesus looks over at his disciples and apparently some other people who were following him, and he begins to talk to them. He says, if any of you would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Jesus is saying, people, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a disciple of mine, if you want to live my lifestyle, then you're going to have to start thinking differently. You're going to have to believe in me and accept why I came. You must change how you look at the events of your life, how you perceive suffering in your life. You will have to stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about others. The cross that I'm going to bear is a literal cross on which I will die. If you're going to follow me, then you will have to bear the cross that I give to you in this life. My fellow Christians, we are part of that crowd that Jesus was talking to. Jesus calls us today to follow him as well. He calls us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and walk. The problem that we have is there are so many voices in the world that are calling out to us. Frequently on television today, we hear a commercial that ends with, like us on Facebook, or like us on Instagram, or follow us on Twitter. We hear people say, join our group. We have more fun. Come to our vacation resort. It's a happier place. Happiness and leisure can be yours if you come to our retirement center. With all of those voices calling out to us, we might be tempted to think, well, why not? Why not have it all? Why not enjoy life to the fullest? We can afford to do that. It's within our possibility. Why not be comfortable and secure? In this world, there is so much that we can see and we can do and we can touch and enjoy right now, right here, today. The answer to that question, why not, is simple. Why trust someone or some institution that's just as broken as you and I are? Every person and every institution in this world will fail us at some point. No matter how honest or well-intended a person might be, ultimately that person will fail us at some point, and they will not keep their promise. No matter how good that story might sound, if it is of this world, then it will fail at some point. It will let us down. Let me suggest to you whom you should follow. How about following the God who kept his promise to Abraham and Sarah? How about following the God that loved you so much that he offered his son to die for you on a cross? It's true that he may not always keep his promises the way you would like to have him do, or when you would like to have him accomplish those things. But as Abraham and Sarah found out, God will do his will just at the right time. He will keep his promise in his time frame. He does that because God sees the world from a totally different perspective than we have. He looks at the world from above. He can see what's ahead in your life. He can tell when the best time is for things to happen to you, for times for him to keep his promise. That means we certainly all have some doubts. When will God answer that prayer? When will God keep that promise? Even Abraham and Sarah had the same problem. They had their doubts. They tried to help God out. They took matters into their own hands and in fact made things worse. But in spite of Abraham and Sarah's doubt, God kept his promise. When it seemed impossible, when Abraham and Sarah were living in their 10th and 11th decades, they finally became parents. That's the God we need to trust. That's the God we need to follow. That's the God who keeps his promises. That naive young lady that I talked about earlier followed the first snowplow that came along. She had no idea where she was going or who she was following or where she would end up. She just followed that first thing. We need to remember that the things of this world are temporary. This world doesn't offer any long-term hope to us whatsoever. But the things of God that we hear about in the gospel today are forever. When we follow the triune God, the Holy Spirit will set our minds on the things of God. The Gallup organization conducted some research several years ago. Their question was, what is it that people who follow need to have? What are their basic needs? They came up with four very distinct answers after a very conclusive and exhaustive bit of research. The four answers they came up with, the four things that followers need are these: trust, compassion, stability, and hope. Who can you trust more than the Jesus who loved you enough to die on the cross? Who has more compassion for you than the God who gave up his only son and sacrificed him for you and for me? Who has more stability than the God who was and is to come? Who offers you more hope than the God who offers us eternal life? Why should we follow the triune God? Because, as Abraham and Sarah learned, God keeps his promises even when it seems like it would be impossible. Amen. Now may the God who promises us peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.